today we're talking about revival.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the scriptures we like to quote, if my people who are called by my name,
yes,
will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land, you know. And I think, you know, especially in this country, in this context, in this generation, in this era, in this world,
yeah,
we need revival.
Yes.
It's not working. This thing is not working.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think for me, I remember there was one pastor who was saying that, that, you know, the humble yourselves and pray, the humility part of that scripture also speaks to fasting.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because you're supposed to put yourself in a place of humility to God, you know. I think that's genuinely what makes us do crazy things. We get so full of pride and we boast and we are so, you know, so full of ourselves, man.
Yes.
That we start doing all this nonsense and then we see things breaking and we're like, oh, let's try this again. Actually, reverse. I'm sorry. I'll do it again. I'll do it your way this time,
yes,
though.
Yes.
But yeah, we're going to speak about revival today. We're going to speak about it because I think it's one topic that has been brewing. It's been a topic that's kind of relevant in the sense that, you know, we've seen pockets of revival in different places and stuff like that. But I wanted to get down to the root of it. What is this thing?
Okay.
What is revival?
Yeah.
Because I think one of my top concerns is I feel like we come to meetings, conferences, church services, we feel the power of the Holy Spirit, you get goosebumps, you get knocked out, someone's praying in tongues, this person got healed. I'm not trying to make light of that.
Yeah.
But we can see like a really powerful display of God's glory in that thing. But does that translate to life?
Okay.
What does revival mean? Does it make sense for us to go and get goosebumps at an incredible conference and come back and nothing changes? What is the point of that?
I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to really go into today.
Yeah. So it basically introduces the conversation of, is revival the event? Or is it the change that comes from, because we're phrasing it as a question right now. Or is it the change that comes from the event or comes as an aftermath of the event?
I feel like it has to be the change.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know there have been like really big revivals. I know there's Azusa. There were a few really big like moves of God.
Yeah.
And it like took the whole town by storm in the sense that, you know, it wasn't just the event people were praying for long periods of time.
Yes,
you know, it ignited an era, almost a dispensation of what God is doing in this season. And because people are willing to plug in and put their hands onto the plow, things started moving around in the communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think my issue is we like to throw that word around a lot, but I don't see the impact that the former generations have had.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that lasting thing.
I get you.
Yeah.
I get you.
Longevity zero.
Yeah. I think let's start here, which we've already hinted to a bit, but what's your understanding of revival?
I actually wanted to define the word, actually.
Okay, so getting the dictionary definition.
Yes.
Yeah.
But for me, okay, so it says an improvement in the condition, strength, or fortunes of something, someone, or something. An instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again.
Okay.
So I guess second definition, like God becoming important and popular again in our societies. And first one, you know, improving the condition and strength of the church, the body of Christ, and you know, the the country that you live in, the community that you're, you know, living
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
For me, revival is, it must come back to life. Mm-hmm. So there's something that's dead. What is, and I mean, I think in different communities, in different countries, it might be different things. But for me, revival is that thing must come back to life again. So for me, it can't be an event because mm-hmm. why is this thing coming alive just to die tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah.
It makes no sense to me. So for me, revival is people coming in touch with the power of God once again. Not only coming in touch with the power of God, but staying in the place, almost like being drawn into the place of deeper intimacy and like a consistent pressing in
mm-hmm.
to God's spirit, not just for the sake of pressing in, but for the sake of changing things.
Okay.
So if it is like a thing of you're pressing into prayer, it's not because you want to pray for yourself all the time, but that you praying for the community or the country or and things are happening because God has someone who is actually tapped into his purpose.
Okay.
That to me is revival.
Okay.
Things, they are fruit of that. So, you know, whether it's the government changing, whether it's crime decreasing, whether it's more children getting saved, whether it's certain policies being driven out because people have come and partnered with God in like, yeah, in his powerful move that he's moving, they're allowing the Holy Spirit to move and they are facilitating the move of God in the sense by coming together to allow the Holy Spirit to move.
Yes, yes. I understand what you mean, yeah. I completely understand what you mean. And I think what usually happens, ne, is that things become, let's say, very major, important things happen in the mm. world, particularly within Christendom.
Yeah.
Like, major things will happen. And then when, after that thing has happened, the term to define that thing will then exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, we'll keep using it as to say, not necessarily that that thing is happening again.
Yes.
But that I feel that like this is the thing. You know what I mean? Which to be fair, revival in itself, no, in its definition or in the way that it's been used, there's no comity that's sort of stipulated that a wave of revival has to be this big
mm.
for it to be considered a revival.
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So perhaps there is a degree to which we do have to make a distinction between a major revival
mm.
personal, intimate revival,
mm.
and a revival that happens within a cell group. What is the term we use for that?
Mm.
Community-based revival, and then if it's just me, ki solo revivali, I ain't putting none of y'all in this. None of y'all in this.
About me.
You understand what I mean? And I understand what an individual means when they say, I feel revived.
Mm.
Personally, me, I feel revived. Yes. But nothing happened to the people around them.
Yes.
Right? But now we do have to be responsible in what that means.
Mm.
Because if you look at the Bible, right, in the book of Acts is a revived community.
Yes.
A community that was so changed that even the way that they interact with one another had changed completely.
Mm.
Like they were living, if we're being honest, it was a form of communism.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
They trusted each other so much.
Sure.
Here's my land. If you guys need my land, here's my land.
Mm.
Here's all the money I have. Here's all the cattle I have.
Mm.
And it, because it literally...
Sure. The socioeconomic change.
You understand what I mean? Exactly. That's essentially what it had done to that community. That crime, and let alone a crime, lying
mm.
had become a big deal.
Sure.
Right? So it sucks that we don't, the terminology probably does exist because, you know, scholars, but it sucks that we don't have it everyone doesn't have access to it. Mm-hmm. So that you can define the thing you're defining, or you can label the thing you're labeling,
yes,
with that term.
Sure.
To say, no, I experienced a revival and it actually lasted for a very long time.
Mm.
I felt revived when people's lives were affected as a result of my revival.
Yeah.
The revival that happened to me. Is it a revival if it happens to five people?
Sure.
Is it a revival if it just happens to one church as opposed to... Because I also have the idea of a revival was exposed to me as a result of it having happened to a society and not just a church, right? And I think it does happen that we generally lose sight of the fact that God is trying to impact the world.
Yes.
And not just your church.
Amen.
Right? And it's fine if it happens at your church and people change and then you guys go out and it sort of spreads.
Yes.
Because the idea of a revival, it's a wave that sort of like, it's a huge wave that is going to cause damage to everything that Satan has built.
Come now.
In the parameter of that wave. You understand? I get that completely. The one I studied very closely was the one that happened in, it's called the Welsh Revival.
Okay.
With it's really, really interesting how it happened, because the intention was, when it started, was not to have a revival. So what happened was a young kid at the time, very passionate about God, just started praying, having very intimate moments with God. And this, I feel like, is the key to every revival. Literally just started pursuing God to a point where, I've mentioned him before in one of our episodes, to a point where it felt like he was starting to lose his mind. He would stop in the middle of the road and just start talking to himself. And he was speaking to God.
Mm.
So I'm not saying you have to do that, right? What ended up happening with him is that he started getting visions of a revival that God was like, you know, gonna do something through him. And it happened. It became a revival so big that the world knew about it.
That's crazy.
Right? The world knew about it. And it literally led to a wave that it was so huge. And I remember I can't remember which one of the, whether it was John G. Lake or who was reporting on it.
Sure.
Bars closed, taverns closed, like so many things just went out of business. Every place stocked Bibles because there's just so many people buying Bibles.
Jesus.
You understand what I mean? Like, people were laying on the side of the road praying, like it was just, I think it's safe to say it was a mess.
A holy mess.
You understand? It was really, really quite a mess. But I think now that the for me, that's my understanding of a revival. And then it impacts and affects everyone. But then what do we say about a revival? Is an individual who comes back to God, comes alive, impacts many people's lives? Has he experienced a revival? Or is a revival when it happens to a collective?
I think either way, it starts with a person. It starts with an individual, you know. You can't expect for the massive revival without the people coming to their own personal revivals, you know. So just especially just how you mentioned that, it came from a man seeking God.
Yeah.
And he was like, cool. This thing's going to happen, but now I have someone that I can do it through because you're seeking me with that passion.
Yes.
So I think it does definitely start with yourself. And, you know, in as much as like the hype of a revival, I think we should, as a church community, strive to impact. I think also sometimes, you know, the power of God comes when you're actually doing something. You know, the power of God doesn't just come to do nothing, to sit there for you to say, look, guys, it came.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. But like, I think, you know, God honors when you're actually serving. You know, God honors when you're moving. There's that scripture. I'm not going to look it up now because it's going to take me forever to find it.
Yeah.
But there's a scripture about how the priests were ministering unto God and they were doing sacrifices and they were doing their temple duties and they were doing all the things. And then the power of God hit so hard. The glory of God was just so tangible that even the priests were not able to minister anymore. But I think the powerful thing is they were doing their things. God came, but they were doing what they were supposed to do. They were ministering at the altar. So whether it is us going out to evangelize, whether it is us trying to build a community and change the community and stuff like that, we don't know. We don't always know when the moment is where God is going to step in and his glory comes through.
Yeah.
But are you doing something? Are we actually doing something? Or are we just the kind of church who's wanting the revival because of the hype of how it feels to be under the presence of God, knowing that we're not actually going to do anything because we just stay in our church?
Yeah.
We just come here for the experience and not to make an impact.
I totally get you. Yeah. I'm trying to think, what was Moses doing when God called him to liberate the Israelites?
Sure.
I'm asking that question because I absolutely do agree, and I've seen it countless times where God, my vision, the way I picture God is that he's always trying to push out every, like, even you as an individual, like, God is always trying to find cracks that he can push life through and sort of rejuvenate and awaken, whether you're sick, whether you're battling with anxiety, whether something, he's always trying to dish out. But so I picture God as being this entity, which obviously exists in infinite space, right? But for him to take what's in that infinite space of his and bring it into our world, he's very limited by the degree to which we open ourselves to it.
Yes.
I really do believe then things like fellowship, seeking after God, prayer, it opens the cracks.
Yes.
And allows God to squeeze in as much as he can. And obviously nothing more powerful than faith, right? Just having that faith in God that he's going to do. That's what opens the cracks a lot. But there's also other things like having your mind renewed, which I love explaining and talking about the idea of the ministry of reconciliation.
Sure.
Because to reconcile things means to take two things that say two different things and make them say the same thing. So in accounting, if you have the income statement and you have the, because there is literally a document called a reconciliation.
Yes.
I forgot what is it.
Bank reconciliation.
Something of the sorts, yeah. It's basically takes a number of documents and checks, measures if those documents are saying the same thing, right? So that's what the Ministry of Reconciliation says. It's a photocopy of this on this.
Sure.
Right. When things are reconciled, it's easier to move in agreement.
Yes.
Because now we have reconciled our differences. We are on the same page.
Sure.
Right. Which technically in accounting terms, it's silly that I'm pointing out this. what is it called again? Semantics.
Yes.
These are semantics. In accounting, it's two documents.
Yes.
Having the same number.
Yes.
But the idea of reconciling you and I, that would be trying to get us on the same page.
Yes.
Which essentially means the same thing.
Yes.
We're in agreement.
Yes.
Essentially, that's what it says. And the reason I'm speaking of that so much is it basically, there's a lot of power in you getting yourself to the place where God can easily you know, pour through you and into you.
Yes.
And I've seen it a lot. And I love how even though you're not pursuing a specific thing, like any gift of the Spirit or whatever, if you're seeking after God,
he will come.
Yeah. Yeah, you will just start to see things change and happen in your life. And it's happened with many, many great leaders in the church. Like people were just pursuing God and they, to their surprise, they started seeing people heal whenever they're in the room. They started it was to their surprise. They literally were just on the mission to know God and to help others do the same.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean. But now, the reason I mentioned Moses earlier was, I'm wondering if, this is standard. This the way the church works, the way that I've seen countless times, we see countless times in scripture, God is constantly wanting to encourage us to seek him.
Yes.
Yeah, constantly, constantly. Though it also makes me wonder, the reason I mentioned Moses, because I don't remember Moses, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Mm. Because Moses was not seeking God per se.
Okay.
Right? As opposed to a lot of other leaders who were like literally seeking to be in communion and in relationship with God. Mm. And I think I'd understand, considering the time that Moses was living in. Like, Moses was was quite a rebel. He was sold to God and the idea of God's children, like his brothers and sisters. He was sold to that. Mm. But I don't know, what was he doing at the time when God met with him? And I ask that question only to ask this. That are there not times when God just like revive?
Get up.
Yeah, now I've waited. It's enough now. It's enough now. It's enough. I will find a way to get this thing out there. You know what I mean? But although I know that I'm introducing more of theology discussion there, but it is interesting to think about that. Are there times when God pushes a revival out as opposed to us pulling?
I guess I see you.
Yeah,
I see you. But I guess it also comes down to the willingness, because God can meet you, like the same way God came burning bush. Hey, Banna. This thing's not dying.
Yes.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Hebon, this thing is talking.
Yes. You understand what I mean?
But
that feels like a huge push.
It's a super huge push. But like, you know, Moses could have still said no.
Mm.
Because remember, he had a bunch of excuses.
Yeah.
Don't you want to ask my brother? Like,
but you know what? I feel like that's more testament to the degree to which God was willing to push. Right?